Guys, welcome back to the Charles Owen Experience. Owen, welcome back.
Ogun, thanks. Yeah.
Young Wesley, Owen Jones, good to see you. Joseph Chan and Dima, welcome, fellas. We all had a good training session. That was fantastic.
Let's keep talking about autism.
Okay, you want to get straight in. Guys, remember, first, like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that. Follow the fellas on Instagram, Owen Jones, Joseph Chan, Dima, instructionals, all that.
Yeah, that one hurt.
You want to continue straight to the autism?
Yeah, let's just carry on. Yeah, yeah. All right. I also do jiu-jitsu, but it's cool.
Great.
Yeah, so what were we saying? We were just naming people one by one, right? And then going through.
What's the ranking?
We're doing the ranking. So if you look at it, I believe Mikey.
Wait.
Mikey's undoubtedly the number one, right?
The GOAT.
Yeah, Mikey's the GOAT. Then followed by a close Jason Rao.
That's fair.
I love Jason Rao. And makes to be so honest, like, in terms of people that I talk to, I didn't talk to Mikey, but I think it's obvious.
Watch the instructionals and you get a good glimpse into it.
I would rather kill myself, bro. I can't sit there for that long. SIS, bro. It's horrible. Okay, I tried to watch one of his, like, his Baron Bola ones.
I watched that one.
Absolutely not.
To completion. I completed myself off a lot of times listening to that.
Bro, your bolos look sick, actually.
Thanks. Yeah. It's all Mikey's fault. Yes.
Do you get stuck into the instructionals? Do you watch a lot of them?
I don't. Not at all.
You don't at all?
Not at all.
Really?
Genius.
Yeah.
Do you watch matches?
I do watch matches, yeah. Some matches, yeah. I watch a lot of Owen, you know, trying to learn from the winner. I watched some of Joseph's match versus... I don't watch that much jiu-jitsu, to be honest.
Do you not?
No, I watch a lot of rounds, and then I ask a lot of questions after I roll with people.
Okay.
Every time I train with, like, one of these guys, I always ask them questions after. And then I just try and improve with a certain skill from there.
Did you start by watching lots of jiu-jitsu or no?
Nah, never. I always thought it was pretty boring to watch, to be fair.
Really?
There's some matches that are fun. Gary versus Renato was a great match.
Gary versus Husamar.
That was a good one as well. Basically just Gareth. Gareth is insane.
Good old Gareth.
Yeah, I don't know him like that to call him Gary, so it's got to be Gareth.
What about you, Joe? Yeah. Do you watch lots of matches or instructions?
Fair bit. I mean... Definitely, depending on if I'm preparing for a comp or not. I mean, if I'm preparing for a comp, probably not so much. But in the off time, when, like, it's more like focusing on learning new shit, then it's going to be more instructionals and tape.
Yeah.
How much do you compete a year?
As little as possible.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, I mean...
It's fucking boring.
You guys are the same. You both try to compete as little as possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think now I'm going to turn it up before ADCC just to get the experience out. But, I mean... I never really competed a lot.
The actual competition itself is fun, but everything leading up to and around it is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, just terrible.
Go on.
Yeah. We're just like,
you always manage to get sick. Always.
Yeah, getting sick is just a standard, but I normally get sick and then I'll be healed just on the day of the competition.
Yeah.
Shout out Kuwait. And,
bro, this guy lost 8 kilos in like 3 days in Kuwait.
Seven. Yeah. I dropped the weight category by accident and then they let me change weight category last day.
Just because it was sick. Not from a weight cut, just because it was sick.
I was just so sick. I had tonsillitis and I was sweating. And I was coming off weed, so I was sweating. Like, literally went to bed at 86 or something and woke up at 84. Like, 2 kilos of sweat loss, just crackhead withdrawal symptoms.
Crackhead. By the way, the first time I actually met Owen, Flanagan, like, I didn't know what to expect, but in the first 10 seconds, he talked about crackheads, and I'm like, okay, he's exactly like an Instagram.
Did you follow him before when he used to do all the crackhead stories?
Yes.
I've turned him down. I just don't take the district line now.
Yeah, you have to public transport.
I have to get back on the district line. Yeah, line bike. Sometimes I see them, but I'm not going to stop and film them whilst I'm on my line bike.
Yeah.
You don't need to stop.
I filmed one crackhead today on a line bike.
That was me.
That was
good.
Charles waved at every human that passed by, and a lot of them waved back.
To be fair, you were on the bell the entire time.
I was ringing the bell the whole. My thumb was exhausted. Some people waved back. So Charles was like, "Yeah," and some guy goes, "Yeah." Wow. That was fucking good.
That was a great time.
I really enjoyed it.
Just gassed.
So, Dima,
waved at strangers.
You've been how long? Have you been doing jiu-jitsu for?
I started in 2017.
2017.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh.
Yeah.
That long, nice. Yeah. And do you watch lots of jiu-jitsu? I saw you put it on a story. You watch like 12, 14 hours of jiu-jitsu a day?
Like in my prime time, so for example, for the trials.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching 12 to 14 hours, but in total, it's 12 to 14 hours of jiu-jitsu in a day.
Yeah.
So that was when I got burnt out. Like actually, I think the second day of the camp, right? When I gathered all the autism adventures together for the trials camp, I think I burned I think I burned out after 2 days, and I'm already white, right? But yeah. There, I was so white like a ghost, and I couldn't even talk or walk anymore, so,
You ate a red egg. don't leave out such an important part of the story.
What?
Bro, me and Taylor came out for this training camp with him, yeah? Day two, he comes in, bro. He looks so ill. He's, like, visibly, like, so pale.
Because he hasn't slept.
Yeah, he hasn't slept at all. He told us he slept from, like, 8:30 to, like, 10, and came in to, like, teach. I was like, all right, cool. And he's like, yeah, I ate a red egg. I was like,
No, it was an omelette in the bread. But the omelette, it was kind of reddish. Like, and I'm like, oh, fuck that shit. I need to go to practice. I was eating that, and yeah, that's all the story.
And then he was just ill for the rest of the
he got sick from that.
5 days after.
I think it was the combination. Eat a red egg? The thing is, I didn't sleep for 3 or 4 weeks. So it was like 2 hours every night. Because of the stress, yes. So much stress. And yeah, and then everything came together. The camp, the red egg, these guys, the camp. But yeah, it was okay. I think I was only out for about a day. And then out for 1 day. I came back after 1 day.
You didn't turn up for 1 day, but you looked ill for a
couple. Yeah, I was fucked. I was fucked the whole camp. Like after trials, this was the first day where I could relax a little bit.
What do you do for the guys in trials? So let's say you've got some fellas coming up. Like, how do you operate? What happened? How did you meet Joseph? How did you meet young Wesley, Owen Jones, Taylor, all those fellas?
Yeah, so let's start with Joseph. I met him actually at B Team before he was known. So I was there for 3 months, and that was after I got injured. And I was out for 2 years. So from 2017 to 2019, I was training practically every day, like a lot. And then I was out for 2 years because of an ACL injury. And then the doctors fucked me up a little bit. Didn't believe me that the leg is still fucked. But yeah, after 2 years, I could train again. And then I was at B Team for 3 months. And actually the last month, when I think it was March, he came in. And yeah, it clicked basically. Like the moment I saw him, I was like, okay, he's a little bit odd because he had his white hair. Like you don't even know what he is. Is he Chinese? Is he American? He speaks English very well. So I talked a little bit with him, and then where it really clicked, it was when I saw his notebook, his laptop, because he had 20...
Joe's notebook.
Not notebook, like a Mac.
Diary.
What did you... Yeah. So listen.
Met a great guy, Dima.
How old is he then? 17 as well.
Crazy.
No, and then I see 20 tabs from Flow Grappling. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only maniac that is watching 20 tabs in a day. So and that was
What do you mean 20 tabs?
20 tab. Internet. Yeah.
Like a tab.
Like 20 browsers.
You saw his laptop go.
Yeah, exactly.
Notebook.
Exactly.
Not like a, yeah,
and... Every tab was about...
No.
That is way more normal.
Yeah.
I saw his notebook.
It's a laptop.
Yeah,
and
then we started reviewing the matches. And yeah, basically that was how it started.
Nice. And you were coaching at this point or you were...
No.
Right.
No, I wanted to be an active competitor, but I had injuries after injuries, like stupid injuries. One time... In Bali, I was drinking 2 coconuts, eating, I think, 3 main dishes. And then from a sneeze, my hernia popped. So, yeah, stuff like that was happening to me. So it feels like the universe tells me, motherfucker, you're not competing, you're just coaching. And actually, the decision to be a coach was made, I think, at Rouse in New York, 2 or 1 month before ADCC trials. And I competed.
Yeah,
I competed there in a match after I think 4 years of no competition with a fucked up hand after only 3 weeks of training because I was out again for 4 or 5 months, and I sucked so bad that I was like, okay, fuck that shit. I will only be a coach. And actually, Joseph asked me if I could help him in the prep because he saw what I was doing with Linus and he liked it. And it's always better to have someone, even if you're good. To not get into your head with the preparation. It's hard to be an athlete and a coach. So jiu-jitsu is still not developed to this point where you can have a coach and an athlete and people understand actually what's happening there. But I think we will change it in the coming years. And yeah, then I helped him with the prep. Everything worked out. He had one of the best performances ever at trials. And the rest, yeah.
Very nice. And when you say you're helping him, were you strategizing with him? What was the protocol?
Jason. Yeah. So the thing is, I know his game pretty well, and so what I did, I was only reviewing the games of his opponents. I was making a hit list. That's how I call it, ADCC hit list. And I was writing down their weaknesses, their strength, and what we can do against it. And simultaneously, I wrote his training plan. So which rounds are you doing? When are you doing them? With who are you doing it? Which intensity are you doing it in? And yeah, then I had Linus with me, so we could also do some rounds that are challenging for him. For example, single leg rounds where you can give up your back. Because if I tell Joseph, okay, we do single leg rounds, he will just give up his back. But yeah, he will not push his heart rate high. And I don't want this, so I removed the back part. And then his heart rate was really high, and he actually had a good gas tank for all of his matches. I think that was the best gas tank you ever had, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And now, because we have more time to prepare, like after ADCC trials, I also intervene in the technique part, but not as much as with other people, because Joseph obviously is one of the best technicians in jiu-jitsu already. So I only help him with a couple of parts there, but still structuring the training, trying to convince him to not train too much, to go a higher intensity, because he trains a lot with low intensity, likes to give up stuff. So yeah, that's where I intervene a little bit as an angel or a devil. You can decide on which side I am.
Yeah. And how did you meet young Wesley and some of the other fellas?
To be fair, I can tell this story. So yeah. for me, it was so obviously after trials,
This is the trials you won.
Yeah, so we both won, right? Yeah. So I didn't know Dima before trials, and then after trials, obviously, then Joseph started posting about him. I think Jason Rao started posting about him, and like kind of like became like a new thing, right? So then I went to B Team to train with Craig and stuff like that, and I was sharing an Airbnb with Joseph and Kenta.
Oh, man.
And I actually got pretty close to Joseph, to be fair, and he's kind of funny, less autistic than I thought he would be. So
you said that, we'll come back to that, yeah.
Yeah, so
we
let's also come back to Taylor. Rankings. Taylor's number three, okay.
He's up there.
Taylor's
up
number
there.
Three, yeah.
He's up there. Yeah. Yeah, so then we got along quite well, and then we just ended up, Dima came up in a conversation. I was like, oh, do you think it'd be worth like him helping me for ADCC or just like just general prepper get me better? And then obviously Joseph recommended, and then I think we got on a call with him maybe like literally an hour later, and then we just had a conversation on the call, said he'd help me for my match with Dominic here, and after that I would decide whether I wanted to stay with him or if I thought it wasn't for me. And then obviously after the Dominic here match, I thought it was helpful, so
yeah,
why not take anything I can to get better for ADCC, you know?
When you called him, like, what were the questions that you would ask him? Like, how did he say who's
Well, I mean, my
you?
First question was obviously, how would he help?
Yeah.
Right? Like, because obviously he's in Berlin, I'm in London. So then obviously he gave me like a structure of training, right? Because if you're competing, you're training hard, to structure your own training becomes like an extra task you don't really want to have to do, you know? Like, if I have to come in today, okay, I have to organize the fact that everyone's going to like, all right, guys, today we're going to be doing single leg specifics, this intensity, this. If I have to do that, it's like extra energy taken away from me. Whereas if Demon gives me the plan, I can just go, all right, guys, this is what we're doing today. And I can just immediately focus on how I'm going to approach the rounds rather than like thinking about teaching a class, basically, you know? So like it helps you not have to worry about your training so much. You just have to do the training yourself. And obviously there are technical areas where like he has excelled in, like obviously this 4-point stuff, and like he's very well connected to other people, and he's like he doesn't think his technique is absolute, you know? So it's like he's not worried about getting techniques from Joseph and Taylor and everyone, like mishing it all together and then just showing you different things, right? So it's like to get technique from either person is obviously good, right? Like Joseph shows Dima stuff, Dima shows Joseph stuff. So like if I had a question about tripod passing, I could ask Dima because Joseph probably showed him stuff from there as well. Yeah. You know? So it's like the answer to questions, he knows someone who has the answer if he doesn't know it already, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was a good approach as well, for sure. And like just structuring my training was a big part, because obviously I'm quite lazy with that as well, and I don't even watch jiu-jitsu either, so he can watch my matches for me.
David well, like it.
David
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like just want to play. Yeah, I literally just want to roll around the floor. Yeah. I just want to aggressively. Yeah, I generally would rather play Warzone. but yeah, help. Like obviously, if my match with Don Mejia, you know, like people usually study their opponents, so I was like, I'm just not going to watch any matches. And then Demon just came, so he watched all his matches, sent me a bunch of clips of like where he was going wrong, mistakes he's making, and stuff I could use to work against him. And then obviously I could just use that during the match and preparing for the match. So I think that helped a lot in my training camp in B Team. I feel like I got more out of it with Demon than if he wasn't there, you know?
Fair play. Did you strategize for him? Who's that fella?
Yeah, Dominic Mejia. Little samurai. He's autistic as well.
Is he?
He seems very.
He must be right.
Bro, it was such a mistake to trash talk against you.
Yeah, I broke
him. That was terrible. Yeah, that was, I felt bad.
Yeah, that Instagram post was peak. You could tell that was me. you could tell, but because I remember how I felt at like I think I was up until like 12 o'clock at night the night before, and this post is just going viral, bro. And it's just like it's got like
it done well, yeah,
bro. It's got like 7,000 likes. It's got like 500 comments. Just all the UK guys. Just bro, you, I think you had a fucking comment that got like a bunch.
I enjoyed
it.
Yeah, myself.
Everyone's just commenting, "Oh, Owen fried," and he's just and he collabed with it as well. So it's on his feed. just like everyone's frying him in his comment. I'm like, in my head, I was like, "Bro, I wonder how he must feel after this." Bro. He must feel like that stressed, red egg, bro.
Just fuck. About the match coming up.
There's already so much pressure. He has to fight someone from the UK now. He's just getting in the comment section, bro. So beach.
So JV. Like more of a strategic approach to, well, basically like Young Wesley just outlined it, but like you would offer more strategic approach and like give guidelines on opponents and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How hard would you say it is to like spot holes? Let's say like in like e.g. people that are winning ADCC. Would you still say there's loads of holes in their games that you can easily spot? Or would you say it's like you got to kind of watch a lot to find out stuff that they're doing wrong?
Depends on the person. Like, obviously, yeah. In ADCC, there's still a big gap between good technique and not the greatest technique, but higher athleticism.
Juice.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We're all friends. It's on that scale of technique and juice.
I think Gordon's amazing, to be honest. Like, technique-wise, I pretty much stole the most things from Dana and Gordon Ryan. Like, I think for all of us, it's the same, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But still, if you're on the same level, or if you're close to the same level, even if you're a little bit worse than your opponent, if your opponent doesn't have a strategy against you, but you have one against your opponent, this can change a lot. Yeah. But this has to be backed up by technique. This is the most important thing. So this is only the first part that I do. The second part is to create systems.
So the first part is the technique?
It's noticing what the holes are.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. So the second part will be in the future. And we are trying to do this right now, having systems or having ways that will be very valuable in the future that people still don't know. So it's pretty much like crypto, because you guys talked about crypto. You need to know.
Owen's bankrupt now. Yeah.
I know nothing. I'll invest a lot.
Just over lunch.
So you need to buy the crypto that nobody wants to buy right now, that nobody knows of, but you know that in 1 year, everybody will buy it. And that's how you can 10 or 100x your own holdings, and then you sell. So the same thing we try to do right now. We have systems and techniques, not only I, but also them, that will probably do a lot of damage in the future, hopefully in ADCC. And then when the other guys go into the coin, we get out and we already have the next project in mind.
That's so what Danaher and that were doing, though.
Hmm?
That's what they were already doing. Exactly. New Wave Camp, yeah.
Exactly.
They'd release an instructional just so you try the shit on them in the instructional, and then they had the counter prepared and they'd fuck you.
That's what I figured out the first time I was in B team, because I had a really good cross Ashi, like in Europe. And then I go there, I try to play cross Ashi against Ethan, and this is the worst mistake you can do, because he's in the cross Ashi position basically every day, and he crushed me from there. And that's where I understood, okay, if you want to beat high-level guys, you can't look at what they've been practicing their whole life, right? You need to understand it, but you need to look at things that they don't know. So I take a lot of inspiration from watching wrestling, especially older Dagestani wrestling. So there's a video of... Should I drop it? There's a cool video on YouTube. I show it to almost all of my athletes. And if you look at the video, your wrestling will 20x. I will not say that.
Is it so tier?
If you want to know the video, subscribe to my crypto group for $9.99 a month. And please buy O'Flanagan's instructionals if you can find.
Yeah, if you can spell that.
Yeah, if you can spell it, you get a discount on my group.
At the end, yeah.
Please send it to me then.
So what's the plan for you? Are you looking to create like a team, or are you looking to just like work with specific athletes? Because I saw that you said you're not working with many athletes at the moment. You did get a bit of backlash from people after ADCC trials. From being like, oh, he's claiming, like, I don't believe that you were, and I don't think you were whatsoever, but it's like, oh, he's claiming like ADC athletes and that kind of stuff. clear the water a little bit.
UK and Poland though.
He actually pays me every photo we take.
Yeah.
There was
every Instagram post, just know I'm
Damon.
There was a rumor that I pay athletes to take pictures with them. I'm like, what's cool, that? Bro.
Don hey, King.
Yeah.
Don King about the percentage.
Yeah, so the plan is to open my own academy.
Yep.
But I still don't know where. And hopefully I can gather some people there. I'm not only having great athletes like Owen and Joseph. I also have a couple of guys that are training with me since I started the Nogi journey after my injury. And they will come up in the future. Like, if you don't know Linus, you will know of him soon. He already could beat top level athletes with a certain style, but not everybody. He only lost to Taylor in these trials, and he beat Chris Wojcik after only 2 years of Nogi training. So this is pretty impressive. Like, don't mistaking us for only being good with the highest athletes. We can also build athletes, and I think we will do it in the future, especially because now I have more resources with guys like Owen and Joseph. So we are all helping each other, and like Owen said, I don't think I know everything, and I don't think that anybody does. So if you have a coach or a guy that tells you he knows everything, he's probably wrong.
Yeah, so. Joseph, stop telling me you know everything. This guy, bro.
Yeah, so to come back to your question, the plan is to open an academy and hopefully create a team in the next 5 to 10 years. The thing is, you will only see good people from the beginning after a certain period of time. I only started 2017. I was out for 2 years, and even now, I think I only trained 3 years on the mat in total because of the injuries. And the highest plan is actually to not coach anymore because I want to train every day. So let's see. How
you want to do more training yourself?
Yes, yeah. I want to train every day. That's what I like. That's what I enjoy. But it feels like I need to do the coaching stuff right now.
Yeah.
But let's see what I do in the future. We will definitely have connection to all of us. We will train together every day, and I will help everyone that is close to me. But I don't know if I will be a coach for the next 10, 20 years. I definitely be a coach like I try to do it right now for 1 or 2 years just to help everybody. And after that, I hope I can just train every day and try to be good myself.
Yeah.
You gonna plan on any instructionals? I reckon instructional.
I don't want people to pirate
you can
my.
Just do the. Oh, you want them to pirate it?
Yeah.
That's gonna happen anyway, man.
That's gonna happen.
Or maybe I have an idea how they can't pirate my shit.
Don't worry about that, man.
Everything's pirateable.
As soon as you put something out, that's getting pirated.
Not everything. Not everything.
What service is not pirateable?
It does you a favor. It gets you more out there. I wouldn't even worry about things getting pirated.
Okay, guys.
What is one thing that is not pirateable?
There is something.
Well, no. In order for pirating not to be an issue, your name has to be easily spelled, you know?
That's it.
They find it on like a Pirate's Bay. Oh, I found the name. But on Fanatics, you search it up, you got it. It's chill.
But you can't search my name.
No, but it'll come up on the daily discounts.
Actually, here we go.
Yeah.
Can you spell his name right now?
No.
It'll come up on a list.
I think it's like
an attempt.
E-O-G-H. I don't know what's
perfect.
After that.
Perfect.
E-O-G-H.
Really?
No one else is
that correct?
Will come up at that point, so that's fine.
I'm actually surprised.
You're damn smart.
Let me answer the question real quick. So I will probably do something like instructionals in the future, but only after ADCC because...
Yeah,
we do the same thing. We want to do our stuff and then we show what we did.
Yeah,
we don't want to show it and then everybody knows. And I also have something else in common because I think instructionals are already there. So if you want to get good in jiu-jitsu quick, maybe I can show you one area where it's quicker than if you see something else. But usually you can just look at the Danaher stuff, buy it and get pretty good in a short amount of time. This is not the problem. Right. No,
don't buy it. Pirate. If it's John Danaher, just pirate.
Move selection, yeah.
Only but buy it if it's Joseph Chen, Owen Flanagan.
Yeah,
if it's anybody else, bro. Pirate.
Buy those instructions right now. Just stop this.
Pirate. But us, you got to pay, bro. But them man just pirate.
So the problem is not the instructionals. Like there are enough of instructionals. The problem is what should you do when? And I try to figure out this problem for everyone in the future. Something that is not pirateable.
Yeah. Have you seen what Jeremy?
More personal.
Yeah,
it's like more personal, so you can't. But it's not like scalable, is it?
It is.
As in, you could scale it to people that you don't know.
It is.
All right, fair enough. Let me know once that's out.
System that you're creating. Yeah. Have you seen what Jeremy Skinner's doing with Atomic Dojos? Is it Atomic Dojos?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
That's pretty cool. I like Jeremy Skinner, and I think this is a cool idea. I think I have even access to Atomic Dojo, so...
What is the idea?
I don't know.
Char, you brought it up. I think
it's like a joint Patreon with, like, I think Mark McQueen's on there now, Taylor's on there. Jeremy's on there. I think they release, like, weekly techniques, and they also have, like, match breakdowns, and then, like, if people
join
want to
Patreon,
people,
yeah. Okay, kind of like
it. Oh, Patreon, it's a Telegram group.
Oh, that's yeah. So, Joseph, you describe them, but if you know, don't let me waffle into a hole.
I don't know if, because I haven't checked it since Taylor, and I didn't know Mark.
Yeah, before that, he did techniques and stuff. So,
I mean, was this techniques, like a Patreon wall with like techniques behind that?
More or less.
Yeah, because I think, I talked to Jeremy about it. I think he does it through, like, he has an Excel spreadsheet. Well, let's see whose videos are these.
So yours is like you're gonna keep going with bespoke like strategies, or you're looking to scale this to like you said, like a larger audience to with different systems.
I guess that is where the money will be made.
Obviously, so yeah. With the
if
scales,
he said
yeah.
it now, the money would be gone.
What?
If he told us how now, the money would be gone.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. But everything will be included. Like my thing is. The most important thing that a coach has to do is to make you think less, okay? So you know what to do, you execute. You're like a machine. Mm. It would be perfect if you're not a complete machine, so you also think about things, but I can make it as easy as you want to, depending on the person. If a person, like jiu-jitsu is not only for the top athletes, right? Jiu-jitsu is mainly for people that don't even know who Gordon Ryan is. If you go in an academy that you never heard of and they are training gi in there, if you ask a couple of people, not everybody will know who Gordon Ryan is. Yeah. So I want to help everybody so we can elevate the sport completely. And if there's someone that is working the whole day, he will probably not think too much about jiu-jitsu. So I want to make it as easy as possible for him in regards of technique, tactic, everything. These people don't need strategies. These people just need... direction.
Just a good workout.
Yeah.
Just a good workout. Well.
They want to get them summer bod.
This is too serious. Can we go back to the autism ranking?
They want that summer bod, you know. They want to look like Mr. Flanagan, bro.
Yeah. One day.
Steroids.
Bald.
Take more steroids.
Just trend.
Bald. Green
bald,
teeth.
Shout no hairline. But
I mean that's the same thing.
Greatest abs.
Yeah. Going to man. Maybe. Yeah. One day.
Joseph Jam, do you know our friend Chao Song in China?
Who?
Chao Song.
Oh, Chao Song. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know him. He's fucking...
Wait, who?
Bro, I have a song.
Wait, okay. Who?
Chao Song.
Chao Song.
Bro, okay.
Wait, hold on.
I want to understand the...
Anyways, no. You know, actually, we love now that you bring up... Yeah. Before I even started training jiu-jitsu...
One sec, bro. If you look at the microphone, there's a dot, and you ideally want to speak like... where? Yeah, okay, cool. You're
like this?
Yeah.
Further away?
No, it's good. Like speak.
You're way too emotional right now. Don't embarrass me.
All right, so here.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Before I started training jiu-jitsu.
Do this.
Say his name again, though.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Before I started training jiu-jitsu.
You cut off the mic, then you have to say.
Just let him go. Let him go.
Release him.
Back to Chao Song. Anyway, yeah.
Say it again.
Okay. When I started training, so this was before I started training. I had an interest in jiu-jitsu.
How old were you at this point?
It's like I was like 14.
Yeah.
I think I was 13 actually. So this is before I started training. There, I looked up like the gym, the local gym, and there's an in-house tournament. And he was the first person I ever met in jiu-jitsu.
Fuck yeah!
Like,
what a character
then,
to me as well.
Because he was like beautiful. He was fairly outgoing, you know. Like,
yes.
I'm sure you guys know him.
I love Charles. So yeah.
He's very. He's a character to say the least, yeah. Right? I mean, he's fairly well known amongst Chinese jiu-jitsu, but
is he?
Yeah, because he's such a character. I mean, it's a small scene too, but he's fucking hilarious. But
he's fucking hilarious, yeah.
He was the first guy I ever met. He showed me a rear naked choke, and he lent me money to take the train home because I had no money.
Yeah,
I just went there, and then I ended up meeting him like when I started training, which was like maybe 6 months after that, because I kept doing school and I was busy, and then I think maybe summer that's when I started training. And then I saw him there, and then, yeah, he was a blue belt when I started, when I was a white belt. And so, yeah, I mean, he definitely beat the shit out of me quite a bit, but, man, he's awesome. Yeah.
Fucking love Chao Song.
Who's this guy?
Chao Song. Mate, you just need to meet him.
You'll meet him some point. You'll
in
meet
the change
him.
Room, right? Let's say we're all showering, etc. I'm butt naked. I'm facing the wall, and Chow Song like comes over to me like, "Have you seen my glasses?" And he just like, he just looks directly.
He did privates with you, no? No, did privates.
He did privates with Sylvia. Yeah.
I think he did some with Farris
guy.
As well.
He lifted weights with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I know this guy. Oh, yeah. Okay.
What a man.
Get back to the penis story.
Yes, it's all right.
Bear in mind, I'm just facing the wall, cock out, and he just comes up to me and he just looks.
Have you seen my grasses? And
I was like, no, they're not here, mate. he's just sitting there and he's just cock out as well. And then someone just sat like
beautiful club you got.
With his head at cock level, and Charles just like, nice to meet you kind of thing, just like right in front of him.
Right.
Howard was
your
not happy.
Your voice impression was so spot on, I knew who it was immediately.
it clicked for you.
I haven't seen that guy in so long.
Because he's back in China now.
So the
first weight session he did with me, I haven't met him too much at this point. And I'm with a client, my client's like, he's trying to learn Chinese. He's also a character, you've met Andrew. So he can speak a bit of Chinese. And then I was like, okay, Charles Song's like banging on the door, comes in 10 minutes early. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to let him in. Like maybe Andrew will speak a bit Chinese to him. And I let him in, and Charles Song just bursts in. He's like, hey, Charles, nice to meet you. Very good. Oh, my knee. Like starts going off about the problems. I'm like, I'll just be with you. Like, and this was a small room as well. Like probably like just the size of this area here. And I was like, Chelsea, maybe like just sit down. I'll be with you in like 10 minutes. We're just going to finish up the session. He's like, yeah, no worries, no worries. And then Andrew, my client, starts speaking like Mandarin to him. And Chao Song would be like, yeah, and just like answer him in English. He's like, I don't care. Like, he'd be like, yeah, like trying to like communicate with him in Chinese, and Chao Song would just answer in English and then just be like, mate, I don't care. And he'd just like start interrupting the session and be like, yeah, like Charles, I want to tell you about my name. I'm like, mate, just take a seat. I'll be with you in a second.
Say how he follows you around really closely.
Yeah.
That might be the best thing.
Chao Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, mate, I'm just sit down for a sec. I'm just going to get like, do you want some water or anything? Yeah. And he'd be like on my tail the whole time. He's like, as I get my glass of water, as I move weights, he's just like right there. I love him, man. Shout out Chao Song.
Yeah, he has a gym now. They just renovated his gym.
He said, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, but...
So man, that was the gym. You didn't start at that gym. You started at a different gym.
So he's in Beijing right now, but he started and got... the guy who belted me from white to purple, he got his blue belt from him. I don't know where Chao Song got his other belts from, but yeah, so he started at the same gym in Nanjing, China. But... Yeah, man, definitely.
Say his name properly, bro.
I think it's Xu Xiao Song. Yeah, anyway.
What's your background? So you're Chinese, you're German or South
African? German, South Africa.
German, South Africa. Yeah. Where were you born? Where did you live?
Yeah, what's born Taipei.
Yeah.
There for a while. And then I moved around a fair bit. So after that, it was like Kuala Lumpur, Doha, Beijing, like Guangzhou, Shanghai, Nanjing, now back to Shanghai, and now just... really moving about. So I mean,
why did you move around so much?
Well, my mom's work, she's a teacher, so I just switched schools a fair bit, so just followed her.
Yeah.
In regards to, I mean, that's my main background. I mean, nothing too complicated. I mean, my mom's South African German, so her, in terms of her parents,
yeah,
I think her grandparents immigrated from Germany to South Africa.
Yeah.
And so I mean, in terms of by blood, she's South African. But by blood, she's German, but then nationality. So she has dual citizenship as well. And so that's how I kind of relate in that. And then my father is like Taiwanese.
She spent most of your time in Asia growing up.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. And then I started doing jiu-jitsu in Nanjing. So that was when I was like, I just turned 14. That's when I started training.
Yeah.
And that was actually, this led to me not necessarily finishing my A levels. But I did school on the side for a bit. And then once COVID hit, that's when I really started taking training more seriously.
What did that look like?
COVID?
No, when you started taking training more seriously, like what did that look like?
Yeah, because it was prompted by COVID, right? Because I was lucky enough to be in a situation where I went back to Taipei for Chinese New Year. And because of SARS, Taiwan locked down their borders. So actually, I couldn't, I think you could leave, but... We stayed there because going back to like Nanjing would have been difficult. You'd have to quarantine and stuff like that.
Mm.
So we stayed there, and life within Taiwan was super normal. So I could train every day. I had no schoolwork, and I had no obligations. So that kind of gave me a taste of training. And then when I went back home, that's when I was like, okay, I made the move to Shanghai. And because Shanghai had more training, like in Nanjing, like during the daytime, there was like a noon class. Sometimes no one would show up. And I had like, I'd often have like train with one guy and that'd be my whole training session. So there wasn't really that many people that were able and willing to commit time to like serious training. Cause like I really wanted to like compete and so on. And so I moved to Shanghai and that's where a lot of like quite good people train. And cause they had like day training and stuff like that. And then eventually that just slowly built up.
Yeah. So you just start increasing the volume that you're training and the intensity that you're training at because you see more people.
Yeah, just definitely volume. I mean, intensity does. I think when I was a white belt, I probably trained more intensely than I do now. But
did you have to stop over COVID at any point?
No.
Chow Song was telling me that he used to just put the shutters down and train with people, and then when the police came, he'd just say he's playing video games, and they believed him.
I mean, would you know?
I don't know. It seems like a jiu-jitsu gym. It seems a bit weird to just say I'm playing video games, but...
Yeah, I mean...
I play video games in a jiu-jitsu gym.
Yeah, what, in Apex? Apex. Well, they have
he's seen his stories. He's always playing like Warzone and that.
Well, behind the desk?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
PS5 still there, bro.
Nice. Yeah,
bro. Warzone Mafia right there, bro.
Never miss.
Have you got a good connection, though? You got
PID. The Wi-Fi is crazy.
Look how excited.
That's the main thing, though, isn't it? When you play these games, if you have shit Wi-Fi, you're just losing.
My ping's like 25, consistent.
You're just losing if you have bad.
Nah, bro, good thing.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Good FPS, like a bro. Yeah, bro.
I'd love to blame internet for losing.
I used to as well. I used to, because I used to live on top of a pub, I used to play on pub Wi-Fi.
Bro, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, so I was on like,
I'd
nice.
Be
like,
so
like,
angry. So
oh, bro, the amount of controller's broke. It's crazy. Just, you're launching them at the wall.
If you don't break the controller, did you really care?
Nah, no, no, no way.
Chuck it at TV as well. Yeah. Controller and TV.
Wow.
Fuck.
Is that you? I can absolutely imagine you fucking decking the misses when you lose.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. V8 coming here.
Right now. Take it,
V8. Fucking good. You fucking uploading something
like,
again?
So the school I went to, they gave us laptops, right? And the amount of fists, I think I broke like 7 laptop screens.
To be fair, the word downloading.
Just because like gaming.
What'd you play?
Ninja.
RuneScape.
Ninja?
Maybe you wouldn't have heard of it. It's like a...
Ninja.
Have you heard of Ninja?
No.
How old are you?
30.
30. You're same as me. It's like... I don't know how to explain it. It's like this stick figure and like there's... You've got a...
Oh.
Is it like the one of those like Flash games?
Flash games, exactly.
Okay. You got angry at that.
You got problems, bro.
I had problems, bad ADHD.
It's not even an online game, right?
It's an online game, but you can download the game and then you've got like, access to all the levels and that, yeah.
And, but you play against other people or you just play against the level?
Just play against the level.
You're still playing?
Obviously, yeah. No,
I'd probably get more annoyed if I lost to an AI than another person, to be fair.
How really? You
no, because other people, it's like personal, isn't it?
No, but with an AI, you can be like, it's a fucking computer. It's
you just go.
You don't expect to beat the fucking engine at chess, you know? It's like, it's a computer.
I do. What do you mean? 100% I do.
If it's a person, bro, I'll be pissed.
Yeah, but if I can hear the person, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I died someone at Warzone, I can hear the little... Bro, I get so angry.
Little 15-year-olds.
Yeah, bro, that's the worst, bro.
Yeah, because they're just playing all the time.
Yeah, I jump into a multiplayer game, I just have this little 12-year-old just chew my ear off. I'm like, sharp, little neek.
And the thing is, if you threaten them in real life, they'll be like,
you're losing.
They'll threaten you too.
You are, man. Okay. Yeah, the worst thing actually was it used to be downloading. I remember you said that, bro, downloading things used to be horror. I remember Warzone, or like Call of Duty, would have an update. It's like 100 gigs.
Take like 2 days.
Yeah, bro, it took me like 2 days to download. I just have to sit my PS4 in rest mode. And I used to have PS4 as well. It sounded like a fucking aeroplane just about to take off. I'm like, yeah, this is long, man. Yeah. This is long.
Let's bring it back to China. Like when you're...
Perfect cutoff.
Let's bring it back to China. Back.
Smooth segue.
When did you start watching instructionals? When did you start like being like, okay, I fucking love jiu-jitsu. I want to get really good at this.
All basically during COVID. So COVID really prompted that just because I'd have to do school for like 3 months.
Okay,
and so
nice.
I kind of got like a whiff of what it would be like to like be a professional to some degree, like full time is a better word, I think. But
did you feel like you're pretty good, like just training like before COVID?
I mean, at the time I was an orange belt, so I mean, I was pretty good for an orange belt. I mean, I was similar size to what I am now, and I was able to, like, give some black belts some competitive rounds, like old black belts, to be fair, and, like, some color belts. So I was like, okay, but it definitely wasn't, like, a super competitive level. You know, it's, like, it's still a very small scene at that point where it's, like, Nanjing and Taipei. I didn't really have, I think, who was the first? I didn't really train with anyone like internationally recognized until like 2021, like mid 2021.
Yeah.
Because before that, I was mostly just in China.
Yeah, and you felt like, yeah, my level's pretty good here, just from China.
Yeah, I felt like it was like a natural progression, because you kind of reach the ceiling there, you have to find a new place, right? And I feel like that's been like the whole process of my journey. Even starting within China, I moved from Nanjing to Shanghai just to train, just because I knew the training there was better. I traveled there before and trained, and just that's why I think I moved so much.
Was it just instructionals the whole time? Like, you didn't have a coach at any point that was just...
No, I had my coach, but like, so my coach, Guillaume Leclerc, he's actually under this guy named Rob Bernacki, if you guys, if you guys know, but yeah, he's quite good. I think it was a good like base for me to really practice training, but he was busy. He was like running the academy. He had to teach classes, you know, it wasn't like a coach in the way where it's like a lot of one-on-one attention.
Like, he let you do what you wanted, basically, which is perfect. Yeah, that's the goal.
Like, he was super good in, like, during class, especially when I got, like, to a decent level.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever you need to drill, you can drill. Just don't be disruptive to the class and so on and so on.
Yeah, that's good. That's what you want, basically. Just like a sandbox for you to work and crush the hobbyists.
Yeah, and he was great as well, like, because he's also very, very knowledgeable. But I could bounce ideas and techniques off of him and stuff like that. And yeah, it was great. But,
and give you confirmation or whatnot. And yeah, you just get instructionals, basically try it on the people in the gym. And
bro, no one in China pays for instructional, so it was great.
I know, Billy.
And like, I was at the Baidu Cloud, bro. This was
I haven't even heard of that. It sounds amazing.
Instructionals? At the time?
Yeah.
I mean, I can say what my favorite instructionals were, like, looking back now. But, I mean, this was when Enter the System was coming out, right? So I was trying to go through those. Let me think. I did Triangle Enter the System first, because I basically only played guard. And then it slowly progressed from there. I went through all of them, and then, yeah.
You watched all the Enter the Systems?
Yeah.
Fair play.
There weren't instructionals back then.
Brother.
You didn't?
The plus 10... like 10 second forward skip thing got completely abused in all of the
You gotta John do two times speed. Don't skip because you skip stuff.
I was afraid of that. Like, I'd see if I didn't see movement, like literally if I didn't see him move, I would just keep skipping
but I really think the 2x speed is the best thing.
Yeah,
because if you can put it on 2x, it like
is that feature Danaher the pirate website.
But to be fair, you put all your voice notes in like 3x and you still understand a lot of it.
But Danaher 2x speed is perfect.
Normal, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good, actually.
Just because sometimes it's like a little bit monotoned and it's a little bit like slow. And so when you put on 2x speed, it's fucking great.
Yeah. That must be fucking good, actually.
Yeah, but plus 10 seconds.
Plus 10 seconds, you're skipping something. He could be saying something sick.
Do you think he'll throw them in random times, though, like that? Or will he give an example generally when he gives a specifically useful piece of info?
I don't think you have to worry too much, because honestly, he'd probably repeat the useful. You know,
that's what I'm
like,
saying. Yeah, yeah.
This is so important, I'm going to say it twice.
More than twice, though. There have been periods of like exact repetition for like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm just like, that's just violating.
But I mean, back to the question where it's like favorite instructionals, like back then it was like these were what I watched. I watched a bunch of crazy instructionals, but then I basically after ADCC 2019 I was like, okay, who's the best grappler? I was like, Gordon. So I'm just gonna watch all the stuff associated with him, so Danaher and Gordon. And so this is basically all my early instructionals are from them. So like instructionals that I really liked was, I think underrated ones are like Danaher's half guard passing and dynamic pinning for go further faster. This was super sick for my passing. I mean, this was, even now, like, there are a lot of those themes in my game, like, heavily. Gordon's seated guard, thought that was sick. I mean, this heavily influenced my style of play. Like, a lot of my butterfly guard, I, like, pinch headlock, and all of this was basically from watching that instructional. And then, like, there are a lot of other, like, Danaher ones I really like, but it really depends on what area of focus you want. But
do you have, like,
yeah.
I was going to say Bosch. It's good. The only other person I've watched is Lachlan. You watch any Lachlan?
not too much. I mean, I watched Mr. Charles. I watched his 50-51 after ADCC, but other than that one, I've watched some of his, what's it called, front headlock one, his half guard one. Before he was on as a leg locker.
His cat and dog one's pretty good, actually.
It was like his half guard passing.
He got third in the absolute.
Yeah, this was before. He was still big on Fnatic, or like his half guard anthology, right? And then that's what he was known for. And then he won the absolute. Then he was like a leg locker and super flexible.
Yeah,
I think something Lachlan does super well is like
body lock.
His game is the body lock one is also quite good.
Yeah,
but it's like he's fairly knowledgeable in all these different areas. I feel like his game has shifted so much.
Yeah,
you know, like obviously after ADCC it was like K guard and stuff like this and backside 50-50. But before that, I knew him for body locking and half guard.
Mm.
So it's like, that's quite interesting.
Do you have like an approach when you watch an instructional or you watch like informative videos?
Generally 2x speed. And then I don't really write down notes. I did at the beginning actually, but I moved to just screen recordings. So if any important part, I'll screen record it so I can kind of, it'll be like 1 or 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
Even like, it can be 15 seconds long.
Just more digestible.
It's so easy to access, as opposed to having to scrub through a whole instructional again. I much rather just have those.
Love recordings. Little,
would you watch until you see a move that you want to try or like a segment and then you go, or would you just watch the whole thing and then have all the segments and then go through them?
I kind of watch till I think it's enough.
Because
sometimes you'll be like, okay, I know this. And then, oh shit, okay, this is cool. And then you feel like you can keep, like, then you're like, maybe you're tired or whatever.
Mm.
But if it's like, oh shit, I can keep watching this, I'll generally keep watching.
Yeah, okay,
like.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a matter of how much you can focus on this, right?
Yeah.
So if it's like, okay, I can't really, I'm not getting much from this right now,
enough, yeah.
You just leave it, come back to later.
Yeah, but then the screen recordings help, because then if it's something like super valuable, I don't have to go through the whole instructional again. And so, yeah, and then I can just pull that up while I'm drilling or about to practice. So I can, have this fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Do you do much drilling?
I like drilling a lot, actually.
Okay, fair play.
I think now I'm not drilling so much because it's right before comp. But
usually,
like, so back home, the training sessions we usually have, like, in Shanghai, it'll start at, like, 8, 9, or 10, something one of those, depending on who's available. And then it'll go till, like, 2 or 3. And, the first...
Jesus.
But it's not intense. So there's a class at 12 or 12:30. So I'll try to arrive, like, let's say average, it's 9. And then I'll try to drill and do my own stuff for all from 9 to 12.
Three hours of drilling.
It's not just drilling. It's not like... I have a whole shtick about drilling that I can talk about, but...
Measured resistance, basically.
Not
too much resisting, or you drill on white belts kind of thing.
It's not... I'm not opposed to rolling in this first period. Like, we can roll. But it's really kind of sandboxing it. Right, for everyone. So there's like a huge group of people now, like most of the guys who train like fairly full time, they'll come to this. But at least what I think of drilling is that you should drill like with no resistance if you can't perform the move.
Yeah.
So if you just can't do it, then you can drill it with like super cooperative partner and so on and so on. But the moment your body can perform the move, then I think that you should either like drill with mild amounts of resistance or drill with dialogue. Where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this. What are you guys going to do? What do you think you can do from here? How does this feel? Does this feel better? Does this feel better? What do you think are some options for you? What are some things that you think I can do better?
Mostly talking rather than actually moving around. Yeah,
I don't like drilling for reps.
Yeah, okay, like agreed.
I would avoid this.
And the thing is, if you have a good partner, like if both of you have a good knowledge in these positions that you practice, you can actually come up with pretty cool stuff in a short amount of time. Like in the beginning of our camp in Thailand, I think we drilled 2 times, like each time 1 or 2 hours, I don't know. And both times we came up with stuff that, I would probably need to drill with someone else for 2 months to come up with stuff like this. So this is also pretty enjoyable. And I think this makes the drilling way easier. I believe Joseph and I could probably drill the whole day and be very happy about it, even if we don't spar.
Let's say you were to teach a class, would you set drills? Because I still set drills, and I feel like, but I just make the drills hard enough that maybe some people will get them pretty fast, and then some people will just never get them by the time we move on to the next drill. And like, is that correct? Should you just be like, all right, play around with this, or should you just get people to complete the move perfectly before you move on?
Depends what your goal is.
Hell yeah.
I'm really good at jiu-jitsu. You can't do it perfectly, though. Like, you're like, oh, this is... I mean, I think if you set a drill, it should be clear what the purpose of this is. It's like... Because it's not just, okay, you want to do this perfectly step by step by step. It's like, why am I doing these things? Why are these things important? And as long as they hit the notes that are important, I think...
Yeah.
It's fine. Because some people, they're... Like, I'll say, okay, I'm going to put my foot here, do my hand here, and I'm doing this. But this is to illustrate underlying idea. I was like, okay, when I'm defending the back, I want to put weight into them so that they don't have a great ability to pummel their legs because they're in like a kind of like an intermediate position where their abs are tense. But that's the main goal. So long as you're accomplishing that, I don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
There are the ways that can be better based on like attributes, right? Let's say you're less flexible, more flexible, so on and so on.
Yeah.
That can be changed, but I think the most important part is like, okay, what are the notes that are important to hit here?
Yeah.
And the same with like specific techniques, right? I think as long as there should be some flexibility, because I think it's so hard to say, okay, this is absolutely the only way to do this. If you don't do this, this is fucking wrong. It's like,
difficult to say that. Yeah. So as long as they have the right idea, they can have little variations and it's fine.
Yeah. And like, depending on the technique, I think you can encourage like thought. It's like, okay, you can think about what are some options that you would tend to favor from here and how you can play around from this position.
Would you say that obfuscates the problem when you have too many options for people that are inexperienced or training 1 to 3 times a week?
What does obfuscates mean?
Like, confuses it with other problems.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're not showing, you don't have to show them everything. Like if it's someone like new, I'll show like 1 or 2 options and I'll try to explain the rationale. Okay, why would I do this? Why would I do this?
Yeah.
And then if it's someone's more advanced and they have other options, they can incorporate that. But if you're someone new, you still present it in a way where there's information that is very digestible.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Right, so,
cool.
And then like some people ask questions. He's like, what about this? And then you can build off of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't always have to show every possible option from, no one does this.
I think if you do it right, people will understand it regardless if they come 1 time or 20 times in a week. So let's say, for example, I teach in the BJJ Academy in Berlin. That's where I basically train, teach. Good gym. Go there if you can, Berlin. And
plugs.
Shameless.
And like I have people that come in once a week. I have people that come in every day.
Yeah.
But I have a message in every week. And I think everybody will get the message differently. But even if you only get a piece of the message, it can help you immensely. So I would like to quote Zadulaev. He is the greatest freestyle wrestler of our time. And he pretty much said, the job of a coach is just to show the options. But your job as an athlete is to understand which options are good for you. That means I can obviously show you all the stuff. I can have a vision about your game.
Yeah,
but in the end, your personality will determine your way in jiu-jitsu. So my job is just to show you all the different techniques, stuff, and you in the end will pick up what is the best for you. I could also tell you, okay, listen, I think it's pretty good if you have this footlock, even if you can't do it for 5 months. Like, I would encourage you to do it if I think it's something very, very important, but this is a rare thing. And yeah, like Joseph said, I do the same, and I think... Yeah, we both pretty much do the same. We are not teaching moves. The moves are just helping you to understand what we want to get to. For example, if you want to pass a guard with a tripod, okay? If you don't understand how to distribute your weight from the shoulder line to the hip line to the foot line, you will never tripod pass. So if you understand what we teach you and if we do it properly, maybe you can complete a tripod pass, but maybe you can do a body lock pass out of it, a knee cut pass. Because you understand one or even all three things that I talked about with the shoulder line, hip line, foot line. And that's how new stuff come up. And then I will steal it from you and then we move on with everything. Science, baby.
Give details, basically, and they'll get the context of it and fit it in wherever they want.
I think, the most important is, like, why am I doing this? Why am I going for the tripod? It's not just like, oh, I like the aesthetics of a tripod. It's like, what function is this serving, right?
It's cool.
Aesthetics of a tripod.
It's like, it's like maybe you can make the argument, okay, I want to do a backflip pass, okay? Yeah. Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like, exactly, right? But why am I doing this? So, like, we talked about this today. It's like, why am I tripodding up? And then that's... the main problem in hand. It's not, okay, where do I do, not the specifics. I think the specifics can be, you can come to that later, but it's like, If it's two butterfly hooks, then they can move me to either side. If it's one, yeah, I can move over the butterfly hook, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really trying to understand that and communicate that, I think, is the most important part.
Yeah. Tough. Yeah. Tough to you get.
Happy? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'll go now, dude. I've got what I wanted.
Is this similar to the ecological approach on the...
I mean,
I think we both don't know what it is to this point, like completely.
Ecological,
right?
Approach, isn't it? Like you create an environment to for certain skills to be used or come out.
That sounds cool.
Isn't this the
gray zone training?
Okay.
Yes.
Where Rob Bernacki did basically the same thing, but like years ago. You know, ecological approach, I think, is just like a fancy name.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's more nuance. Like if you just think of like ecological approach as specific grounds, he's like, okay, we're going to start from mount and whatever happens, happens. And it's like, it's a misrepresentation. But these are things that people have been doing for so long where it's like you have an idea of what you want in mind and you try to create an environment in which this can come out more easily. Mm. So like, let's say, and I think like these type of like rounds, I won't necessarily say like it's the ecological approach because I'm not familiar with the science and stuff, but like what Bernacki did before, he called it like fuck your jiu-jitsu, where it's like he was actually inspired by Ryan Hall, who would basically like approach someone's jiu-jitsu and be like, oh, just fuck this guy, like as in disrespect their jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Or it's like, for example, a classical like fuck your jiu-jitsu example is so you're playing on top, other person's on bottom, and you just let them entangle into whatever they want, and the goal as a top person is not even to escape, it's just to get as deep as you can but have nothing done to you, and so you kind of disrespect their jiu-jitsu. You just stay, and it's like, okay.
Just don't get
pretty
started.
Much the same that we do. But
yeah. So, yeah. And then it's just important to have a goal in mind when designing these rounds, right? And so, like, for example, like yesterday, the class I taught, there was certain goals in mind with whichever round we were doing. And something I think is super underrated that I really like to do when I teach is they'll do the specific round, but then there's also a discussion period, because I think this is a good habit to get in.
This was good, actually.
During the middle of the class?
Yeah, he would
so
do like...
So at the end of the class, right, yeah. you have the specific rounds. So
I want to hear your take on this as well, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like you go 3 minutes, you go 3 minutes, and then after that I'll do 3 minutes of them being able to discuss the round. So the prompt I usually give is like talk to your partner, what went well, what didn't, what were some problems and possible solutions. So then you can kind of get that discussion going. And because especially when things are fresh in your mind, it's much easier to like talk it through. And it's the best person to talk about it with is the person you just had the round with. Because then it's like, you can kind of see it from two different perspectives. Because maybe my impression of something that happened in the round is different from the way you saw it. Because it might not be reflective of the truth. So then you have the person who did it to you. Then you can ask them, oh, what did you do there? I didn't really understand what that was, and so on and so on. And then so using all these things in conjunction, I think, like having intention with the rounds you pick and why you're doing the round, but then also having that time to discuss, I think, is super important.
That's mad.
Yeah, because to be fair, when I was watching, because it's also like, after you do a round like this, it's so easy to forget what happened during the training, you know? So I feel like that discussion period does help you keep it fresh in your mind. But the amount of times I just forget what
Charles
happened.
Charles has no idea what's happened over the last 2 years.
But I'm trying to get better. I've changed now.
You're a changed man.
Changed
now,
since
Charles.
Last week.
Yeah, because I definitely...
1 week going strong. Get a badge. Yeah.
Because I definitely improved a lot when I was training with Joseph, right? Because he'd be like, after rounds or after specifics, immediately just talking about what I was doing wrong and what he was doing right or what he thought I could be doing better. Like, immediately talking about it straight after the round, and you can do that multiple times during a training. I feel like you learn more than rather like doing an hour in training. At the very end of the hour, you go, damn, you have to remember the last hour of jiu-jitsu you just did. When it's like, bro, I can barely remember the last 5 minutes I just did, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Especially when... A lot of the stuff I do myself is a lot of like dynamic stuff where it's like I'm not really thinking a lot of the time, you know.
You
it's
move a,
lot of, like,
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of natural movement, and like I have an intention, but every single step of the way is like I'm not thinking about that. Like there's loads of times where I pass people's guard and I go, how'd you pass me? I'm like, bro, I have no idea. I'm just inside control.
I just see red, man.
I'm just here. I'm just on your back somehow. Yeah, like so. I think definitely those discussion periods. Because when I first Joseph was the first person I saw do this, right? When I first went to B team, and it definitely made a difference. Helped improve them for sure. And I think it just helps like people understand, even like worse people understand their own jiu-jitsu as well, you know, like just getting to
definitely.
Let's say you do it with a white belt. What do you benefit from that post-chat discussion?
Me or the white belt?
Well, as in you can tell what they did wrong.
Oh, but me sitting there, I get to let the watch talk for a few minutes, kill the time.
But this is okay. I think it's most necessary with someone who's much worse than you. Because I think a lot of the difficulty when trying to bridge that gap is there's a knowledge gap, right? So, like, let's say I roll the white belt. They have no clue what the fuck is going on. So this discussion period is meant to enlighten them and make what's very clear to us clear to them.
But for you...
For me, because then they're going to get better. They're going to be able to... I'll tell them exactly what I did.
We don't care about that.
This is investing. This is literally what you've done at lunch earlier. This is an investment.
When they're getting better, you will get better too.
See?
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So if it's someone...
And I'll just tell them.
I believe that will...
Bitcoin,
yeah.
This is what I'm
going to
do.
Give you a little bit of that.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. This is how I think you can counter it. And then you can even walk through that. It's like there's no immediate like okay benefit to me. It's like but long term this is
you want to if you just keep someone with the same move you may as well teach them the defense because it's like this is getting ridiculous. But now.
Yeah, because I mean like for me like training it's not the fun thing I get about it is not just murking people. If it was just murking people it'd be like super boring.
It's pretty fun.
It's murking people that give good reactions. I think that is.
I think it's
fun.
Like dealing with resistance is the most fun, right? It's like I like
I haven't heard murking in so long.
No, bro. Would you? You don't think murking someone is the most enjoyable part of jiu-jitsu?
I like murking someone who I think is super good. But
exactly. Yeah,
no, but
about.
Then you murk them once. What if you murk them 10 times?
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
And no, think about
I'll be so bored.
And
but then they're not good anymore.
You must have hated our round, bro.
But don't think about this.
You must have hated that.
Even if you think there are no fast benefits out of this for you, if you talk to a white belt, there are people that Joseph trains with where he has difficulties to tripod pass them, and they are not as good as you think. But if he goes against someone that is a world champion that never felt this before, like Tommy Langecker, for example, he's way better than people he trains with in China, like not all of them, but most of them. And he couldn't react to it. So if you talk to someone, even if he's a white belt, talk to him 3-4 times and it will be already more difficult than sometimes against the best people, right?
Yeah, yeah. Straight away, it can be more difficult. Yeah, that's definitely, But in terms of, I guess then you get better rounds with them in the future. Yeah.
Investing.
Yeah. Young Stefano, bro, you need to get him.
I tell him so much.
Yeah, he just doesn't listen.
I tell him. He's just
sometimes you're like, come on,
as soon as the chips are down, he's out. He just gives up. Puts the blinders on, and that is it.
What about
Özbek? He just waits to reset.
Even with him for time, he hasn't improved at all.
Özbek is uncoachable. He's uncoachable. I didn't say that. You should see him doing plyos. It looks like a skinny chick shaking ass.
In the weight room, man, it's a joke.
In the weight room, in any room.
Man.
I've never seen it. Bro, he's good, but his game hasn't changed in the 2 years I met. When I met you guys, I met you, just after lockdown. He was the exact same as jiu-jitsu as he is now.
He's gonna love hearing this.
He packs his sandal. He just
chewed
up those people.
He needs to hear this too.
Oh, this is the motivation you need, Christian, bro. Get better.
He hears
get
it every good. Week, mate.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just no point.
Yeah, it's just stumpy, brother.
He needs to hear this.
But his leg lock defense is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, the leg lock defense is good. It's a full body toe point. That's what I say. He toe points from the top of his head right to the tip of his toe.
Watch him walk. No heel contact on the floor.
He waddles on his toes like a stripper. Like I said.
You walk like a stripper.
He even squats like one.
Pliers, man. His pliers are awful.
His pliers are awful. We should get the Bollywood jingly things. Wrap them up on him.
Fucking hell.
I would love that.
Do you strength train, Joe?
I only started recently, but
yeah,
not very. Like it's been a week, but
really recently.
Yeah, so I mean, I've done it on and off. Like, I mean, I think the longest I've done is 2 weeks.
All Joseph ever does is just traps, bro. Just traps.
I've got a question about that actually. Just like to ask, what's Joseph's trap routine like?
Bro, you should see my sister. She can also flex her traps like me. It's like I think it's genetic.
Did you carry stuff in China? Did you start? Did you wake up doing shrugs?
No, I don't know. Like, just I just felt like, I can bring my traps forward. Because I think I saw, Khabib and stuff like this doing this. And so I think we kind of just made it, a funny thing where it's like, okay, we got to get a thick neck. And then, okay.
Is that from tripod passing?
Yeah,
bro, maybe neck. I don't know.
Hopefully,
what is your strength? Training? What does your strength training look like?
Now,
you make it up or
definitely sad.
No, so I got a guy who's helping me. But, a lot of it's like to like make sure I don't get injured, because this is something I've noticed. Like, especially when the intensity of training is getting higher, it's like the risk of injury is there. And because in the past, like, I'm fairly flexible and like I'm not super weak, so I never felt the need to do this, but then especially with longevity in mind, this is something I'm trying to do. So it's like something I used to do, like I liked the knees over toes stuff a while back, but this was like super long ago. But now I don't even know what he just sends it to me on an app and I just do it.
Yeah,
but I don't have a great understanding of stuff in this regard. Like, I think the only strength stuff I've done is like in Austin with like with JB and them. Okay, I'll just do whatever he does. And then in the past, like I just follow whatever my
friends. You are pretty weak, brother. My arms are bigger.
I can
than
do
yours.
A Nordic curl. I can
My
do
arms
multiple.
Bigger than yours, bro.
Okay. Just because you have big arms doesn't mean you're strong.
Bro, I'm a 66. I got bigger arms than you, bro.
Okay, I mean,
poor Kent has got pretty big arms actually. Kent's
arms are huge. He doesn't look.
He's not working out. You know this, right?
Jacked.
Bro, he doesn't do shit. You know, like. Anyways, but yeah.
He's not working out. He's just huge.
I don't know if we answered your question.
Yeah. No, you answered perfectly. Yeah. Did you, like, what does your routine look like right now? Do you remember?
What did I do?
Do squats. How many times a week do you lift weights?
I think it's 3 times a week.
Nice.
Now, obviously this week I'm not doing anything because
yeah,
I'm for Polaris. But 3 times a week, and what were we doing? I think it was pretty simple. I've only done it for 1 week, so
yeah.
I'm not
just lift. You go to the gym and lift some weights.
Yeah. I'm not
Turkish get ups, fireman walk, or what's
it called? I don't know.
Stuff like this.
Farmer's walk, something like this.
Yeah.
I don't know. So like, what else did I do? I did some pull-ups.
Did
some squats.
Bulgarians, bro.
Bulgarians.
What's your Bulgarian at right now, man?
Bro, I don't know.
What's that?
I can't Bulgarian right now.
Apart from that, what?
They're actually not bad.
What's the weight?
I think they're back to like 22.5 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, they dipped off. They dipped off a while, but they're back now.
Let's get them back in.
I do them a lot now.
Good.
Yeah, they are Satan spawn, but they do help for sure.
Chasing that 30 kg.
I hate to admit it, but listen, Bulgarians are good for you. They suck. They do suck.
You chase those 30 kgs
now. Yeah,
I'm
trying actually. You that'd be nice, to be fair. My rows are still my most elite.
You're in the 50s yet?
Yeah.
You are in the 50s?
Yeah. But not for a lot.
50 kg?
I usually just do 40, but for more reps.
Okay.
But I've tried the 50. I did do the 50 once with Elliot. I felt pretty.
Fair play.
Pretty
how many reps?
The 50. Just for two. But
only two?
Two reps.
Yeah. Oh, that counts, bro. Get back in Trent City, man. We'll take that. We'll put that right
touched my hip, bro. The 50 came to the hip and went straight back down, bro.
We'll get that twice. Up to 12.
Twice. Two times.
But not more.
Not more.
Do you lift, Damer?
I can do the 40s.
Not right now. Actually, I was a natural power lifter before I did jiu-jitsu.
No way.
Yeah. I won a national title in Germany.
What was your squat, bench, and dead?
Oh, I was weak for a powerlifter. Bench was 150 kilograms.
150?
Yeah. Squat was 200 and deadlift 250. So
pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
To be fair.
But
how old were you then?
I've seen the video of you deadlifting, actually.
Yeah. I think I was around 19.
Damn.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then when I started jiu-jitsu, my plan was to get as weak as possible so I can get good technique. So I stopped lifting for real. So I stopped lifting completely. And my plan was to start lifting again when I'm purple brown belt.
take notes.
But
are you back lifting now?
No. Never start. So my plan's actually to start lifting again because I just want to get strong again. I don't want to
good
have the best.
Health,
like,
chief.
Yeah, my technique is good enough so I can lift right now, I would say.
Really? Is it?
Yeah, I was going to say. We think we're skipping the gun a little bit, brother.
Okay, you're not eating anything today. And you, my friend, we do a leg lock round in a second.
Yeah. Let's do it. I'll give you
a leg. So after my hernia surgery, I probably will do one after ADCC trials. I will start lifting again.
Yeah.
You mean worlds?
Did I say trials? Yeah, worlds.
ADCC worlds.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Worlds.
That's a good thing to correct people now when they say, are you looking forward to trials? I want trials, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ADCC, bro. It's okay.
Just don't want to do the long flight. Although I have my game console
I
now.
Don't want to do
Oh, you got the Steam Deck, right?
I have the Steam Deck.
I was this close to buying it.
Get it, bro.
You should get it.
It changed your life.
I'm getting
I think it'll fuck my life up, bro. I'll die. Like, I don't know.
Do you get obsessive with this?
Yeah. It'll be like 2 months of me only playing video games.
What games are you going to hit?
I was going to go get Forza Horizon because this is like nice.
A racing game.
Yeah, bro. How the fuck?
What do you play?
I've only got one game right now. It's The Witcher 3.
And you're going to get to about racing?
Bro, a racing game. Come on, that's just like, they're all the same.
Okay, no, bro. Come on.
They're all the same.
Okay. Bro. It's like, it's not a simulator. So there's a lot of fun to it. Like, you know, it's like open world. It's like, you play GTA, right?
Yeah.
All the fun I had in GTA was buying and driving cars. Or vehicles like planes and whatever. I didn't give
killing
a
people.
Fuck. I didn't care.
What about getting the 5-star rating and staying
in
the
house?
Really, I
from
literally didn't care.
Is the best.
I was the least confident.
What about the strip club? Come on.
Young Wesley goes to the strip club. He was just driving to the strip club.
Wanking in the middle of Apex.
GTA 5, yeah, I remember I was like, bro, I used to be like,
you
could
see
15?
Tits in there, yeah.
15, but I used to hit up the strip club, but you get a lap dance in the strip club in GTA 5.
You wanked
to
it as well.
And you can rob them. You've been there, don't lie to me.
I haven't been there.
Yeah, you've been there. You go in there and then you.
The strip club, I haven't.
GTA 5
quoted it as one of the best things.
It's part of the mission. It's part of the mission. You don't have to return though.
Trevor has to go in. You own the ship club at one point.
You gotta go.
Trevor owns the ship club. You have to go in there.
I mean, how can you not go in?
Yeah,
you can pick up girls in GTA 5 as well.
I mean, bro, when you're 12 years old, what other options?
Yeah, exactly. But I was like fucking 14. There's a lot of options on your phone. There's a lot of options.
When I was 12, the internet was out. We had broadband. All was good.
RuneScape, the dialogue.
Yeah, and GTA 5 was not out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, different times.
Oh, and how old are you?
27.
27?
28 now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Masters coming soon.
Yes.
Yeah, sick.
Masters one.
No,
get
works.
A little world title.
Yes. I actually don't think I'll do Masters for a while.
Wow.
I think it's harder. People are just more inclined to juice harder.
But no one enters
no
the
heel
Masters
hooks and Masters.
In what, though?
No heel hooks and Masters.
Yeah, why would
is that
that's tough as well. No. That's right.
Why would I do that?
No reap, no heel hooks.
What am I
all
do?
On juice.
Yeah, you might just lose.
Just
that's not for you, bro.
Is that also for ADCC Masters?
Yeah, yeah. No,
really?
No heel hooks and no anything, yeah.
Poor knees, brother.
All
the
these privates
can't take
nothing.
It.
Yeah. No, I'd rather not.
Ship
30 is pretty young to have a separate category, I feel like.
I mean, it really depends.
No, it's not. Come on, man.
30 is pretty young to have a different category.
I think it's young, yeah.
Yeah, because like...
It's 12 years.
You know why they are doing it, right?
What?
Why?
Money. You can make way more money. Way more people will sign up.
True.
See, yeah.
Master
yeah.
1, Master 2, Master 3, Master 4...
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
count out how much money IBJJF makes, and this is
also because
well, you want to do IBJJF? Yeah,
people feel safer.
I'll do Masters.
You got to pay change
and
belt.
You go in there, and there's the former world champion in the Masters category.
Bro, like Vakker and Galvao, both Masters. Is it Masters 3, right?
That'd be Masters 3, yeah. But they'll surely just do Masters 1 or just compete in the adult division still.
Is that adult test?
Yeah, Meow for. The other guy, Lucas.
He did Master 2 or Master...
Yeah, Master
did
one,
he?
Master 1?
Yeah, no. the Master 1 Roosterweight final was like harder than like the adult final. It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That man is sick though, to be fair.
The Meows.
Yeah.
You train with them.
I'd say 30 isn't even
though.
Prime.
30 is your athletic prime.
Charles Negromonte, bro.
Yeah, but depends
natural.
What you're doing. But,
natural.
Yeah.
Natural prime.
Charles Negromonte.
I think it's even later in Jiu-Jitsu. Depends on the weight category.
Yeah.
The,
how much juice you take?
Yeah. Oh, bro, then you can go past 40.
But that's like the injuries will build up as you get older and
do you think
older.
That's, do you think that? Yeah, do you think that matters about the weight carry? I was gonna say everyone at 66 is pretty young.
Yeah, 66 because it's you have to be faster than 66, so it's more explosive. Like the athleticism tends to go more to the speed.
Shout out the
as
young
you
midgets.
Age, you should also grow.
Young midgets, come on,
young midgets.
Yeah, as you grow, as you get
as
older.
You age, you should grow and go up the weight divisions. Don't be childish. Start to.
Oh, I have the plan, brother. I win in 66 and then I jump straight to 88.
Are you going
to
go 88?
Get that
microphone in, man. That audio is going to be terrible.
Just completely duck 77.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Fuck
oh, man. I know how my rounds with Joseph go. That's long, man.
What a terrible
you're gonna
division.
You're going to go
88. Yeah, bro.
Bro, you understand that 88 are the 110 kilogram guys in the future.
Yeah, same.
Oh, yeah.
110.
If they do day before weigh-in.
Bro, smallest 110 guy ever.
To be fair, hopefully I wouldn't have to be jiu-jitsu from that anyway. Hopefully I just win ADCC and then I can retire.
I will help you.
Do super fights under 70 kilos.
I'll help
fight
you,
trash cans. I want to do the Mikey effect, just fight them sambo.
Yes,
he'll just keep getting the invite back.
Oh, but if I win, if I win at ECC, sign a contract with one, just fight sambo guys, get my 50k check, and just eat.
I see it, 50k for the rest of your life. Yeah, sorted, mate.
Yeah, 50k every 6 months. There.
Is that what Kate's getting?
Oh, yeah, Mikey gets basically 50k almost every time he fights, right? Basically,
every time I think give him a can.
You will be a good addition to one, like good exactly. character.
Who's it? Leo Vieira. Leo Vieira, come on, check man that. Line me up with that 50 racks.
He messaged me and I replied, then I just got aired.
Fuck,
that's very strange.
Did they offer you someone?
Yeah, no, they didn't offer me a person. They just said like, "Hey, like, are you interested in coming on one?" I was like, "Yeah, it depends on the stipulations of the contract."
And I know what happened.
Nice, yeah. They were like, yeah,
no, no,
like,
I know what happened. What? He can't find you anymore because he doesn't know how to spell your name. Yeah,
he's like looking through the chat. Owen, he's like, "Who's this Eogan?" He's like, "No, not this guy.
I don't know this Turkish guy."
Fuck. I have to change my Instagram name.
Yeah,
include an O at the start.
legally change your name to Owen. Just join the gang.
Might be a bit rude to the grandparents.
Yeah, the disrespect.
Disrespect.
Out of the will.
Well, you just need to create a nickname. You need a nickname. Flano. And then you could just put the nickname at Flano. The front, and then people will just know you by the nickname.
Flano.
Like Baby Shark or something like that. You know, like everyone.
Young Wesley.
Young Wesley. We need to get that. That needs to stick.
Whose nickname is more recognized than their actual name?
Baby Shark. Baby
Hulk.
Shark. But
Hulk. Yeah. Okay.
Hulk. Yeah.
Luke's bubbles. Yeah.
Baby Shark, but for sure.
Every time I ask people, like, "Oh, do you know Doga Hista?" Like, "Who's Doga Hista?" Baby Shark. Like, "Oh yeah, I know Baby Shark."
Baby Shark.
Like Hokage, kind of. I mean, people call him
Fabricio. Yeah, Hokage. Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I think his name's definitely more famous than his.
Maybe.
Who else?
But that's very few examples. So Baby Jane Shark Carla is a super weird name, and Hulk is obviously.
Yeah, you just got Foresight. Just force it.
Just force
the Panther. PJ Barch, the Battle Panther.
Yeah, that's like, people know him as PJ Barch, though.
It's true. Who else is there?
No, I'm sure there's more examples. It's just hard to think.
Yeah, we can't think of them right now under the pressure.
Mighty Mouse? You need to change the game, man.
Yeah, sure. Mighty Mouse.
You need to change the game. You need to
just
be like.
Just set a trend, brother. What do you mean there has to be examples? Be the first.
Be a WWE superstar. They are all only with
Dr. Phil. Just change it to Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
You've got the hairline. You've got the color
with like shine. Young
Dr. Phil.
Young
Dr. Phil.
Young
Dr. Phil. Moustache.
Just go straight Dr. Phil. Get the tash gum.
I would put people at ease so much and then just like flying scissors and injured knees. That'd be a dream.
People like these engineers.
Come on my show.
Bro, that's did you see the guy who's fighting Pantoja? What's his name? He looks like the guy from The Office. You see?
Which one?
What? He's fighting for the flyweight title in the UFC. Bro, he looks. Have you seen this guy?
No, what's he look like?
Who's the guy from The Office?
Import him on the
screen. Bro, I don't know who you're talking about.
Jamie, pull this guy
up. Yeah, pull him up on the street.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
I have no idea about that. Bro,
I know who you're talking about.
Chris's opponent.
The crispy black hair, right?
Yeah, he does look, yeah.
Bro, doesn't he look like the guy from The Office? Like, legitimately.
Fair enough.
I don't watch The Office.
Okay, anyways.
All right. Have you seen House of Cards?
Yes.
All right, who's Crispy's opponent? What's his name?
Sean Price. Is that it?
All right, look at this fella, Sean Price. He looks exactly like Kevin Spacey. It's fucking weird.
Is he also a pedophile?
I haven't asked, actually.
I don't think he's a pedophile. I think he's just a sex pest.
You have a seminar on Saturday, no?
Yeah, I'm in Austria.
Oh, a nice win. Where?
Wait, where are you exactly?
South of Austria. I don't know the exact name, but it's three seminars, basically. It's good money, so I didn't.
Yeah, we're
didn't pass
we're
it up.
At the same time, right?
We're also in Vienna.
Yeah, we're in Vienna.
I don't think it's Vienna.
Salzburg?
It's near Ljubljana in Slovenia.
What? Just you're north. Sure you're in Austria?
Yeah, it's just north of that, basically.
Great, great pronunciation.
I'm trying to find this. I don't even know, mate. Yeah. I'm trying to find this Sean Price fella.
Is it not Uzbek's thing?
Maybe it's not Uzbek's thing.
Yeah.
It is literally uncanny. It's fucking weird.
We pretty much answered all of these questions as well, by the way.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which just so you know, for Vienna, 20th and 21st April, don't go to Owen Jones seminar. Come to come to Joseph and Dima's seminar.
You guys got a seminar on the same date.
Man.
Bro,
look at this fucking guy.
By accident.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Oh, the ZR guys messaged me saying, do you want to do a seminar? I was like, yeah, I can do these dates. And then I literally...
Wait, do it at Saturday. We do ours at Sunday.
Okay, sick.
We have ours at Sunday.
Ah, people might actually come.
Yeah, yeah, ours at Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Are you? Yeah, we come to both seminars. We will be there, all
and
three
if you
of
could
us.
Only come to one. I'd probably say go to Joseph's.
are you taking
better,
a
better.
What's the date? What's the date of it? 20th of April.
Yeah, 20th of April. No,
it's not a 2-day. It's a 1-day.
No, it's a 1-day. 21st, and Owen has us probably at the 20th of April.
Are you 21st or 20th?
I'm 20. But we have a bunch of seminars. Just look at our Instagram. Oh, you have both days.
Both days. Yeah.
Sorry.
See you later, champ.
Take a set fee, bro.
I have a flat rate for I take a flat fee for this one. Yeah, the only time I don't take a flat fee is in Wales, because them man love me. Welsh,
they love
right
you in Wales, man.
Shout out the new king of Wales.
Wales. You're looking at the king.
The new king. You're looking at the king. New kid in town.
Wales.
Yeah, the amount of times people have just thanked me for being Ash.
We will go to Wales pretty soon.
This weekend. Are you excited about this weekend?
Yeah.
Let's go through your picks. What are the matches? So there was the welterweight tournament.
Yes.
Why didn't Szczesinski get the invite to this?
Szczesinski is the champ.
Oh, okay. And then the winner of this fight will fight the
title
shot. Okay.
Title shot.
What other matches are on?
Should I check it out on the Polaris page?
Check it out.
Let's check it out.
A 2 grand match.
Who's in your division? It's got Levi.
We'll go from.
First match will be Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford,
that's how I call him. Harrison Woods.
And then there's Levi versus Davis. There's Espen versus, who's Espen fighting again? Max Hansen. Mm-hmm. And then PJ versus, what's his
Luis
name?
Luis Paolo.
Yeah. The thing is, I think PJ is ranked 201, right?
He's one, PJ's two.
Yeah, but I wouldn't underestimate Max Hansen. Like, watch out for Max Hansen. He's on a tier right now. So I would prefer to face PJ because he's just, we're cool with him. We love PJ. But Max Hansen's definitely his hardest task. So let's see what happens.
He's going to pack him up, bro. Pack him up in a box set of 7.
Who wins out of Fionn?
If the King of Wales says it, then.
They're definitely Fionn and Brianna.
Yeah, Fionn and Brianna. This will be interesting because we worked on a bunch of things since the start of the year. And
you and Fionn.
Yeah.
No, he's
not
the
with
ops.
Fionn.
He's
no.
Are you in the ops? Yep.
Yeah. So let's see how it goes.
Nice. Ops. Yeah, and then there's the prelims, which they haven't listed.
Christian Osbeck.
Keith Corrin versus Cam Dolmy.
Yeah.
My match. Unfortunately, I had to pull out my ankles, broke up. But.
Yeah. By the way, do you guys know that Owen Jones is the GOAT of jiu-jitsu? BJJ Math beat Gordon Ryan?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, we've all done
what
that.
What happened?
Though,
yeah, but
have you?
In a roundabout way, I'm sure if you just.
You need to find this. Right? You need evidence for this.
Yeah,
so,
what's the evidence?
So Owen beat Cameron. Cameron beat McNally. McNally beat Gary Tone. If I'm not mistaken, Gary Tone beat Magalash. And Magalash beat Gordon Ryan. So Owen Jones. Owen the Nugget Jones. The Happy Meal Jones.
Man, that's a big accomplishment. Well done, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. I'm the GOAT. To be fair, the reason he brought this up was because I had a dream. I can tell you about my dream. My dream was I went to ADCC. Okay. Yeah. Crazy training camp. Boom. First round. But I got subbed. I got beat up. Wasn't even competitive. I was like, Mo Keynes was like, Virgil did the absolute. I was like, yeah, why not? Gordon first round, the absolute. He passes me, bottom mount. I just enter single against my bottom mount, outside hook, and I tap Gordon Ryan, and I just retire on the spot, and I'm the GOAT. I don't finish the absolute.
Yeah.
Bro, and I'm just eating off. I had this crazy vivid dream. I open up my academy, everyone's coming in.
You just leave it there.
Greatest together. And then he was like, oh, would you rather beat Gordon or win ACC? I was like, bro, what do you mean? This is an easy question.
Yeah,
Gordon. For sure.
He said the exact same thing.
I would never compete again. I would literally, Gordon would never hear the end of it. I would just be constantly in his DMs. I'm like, my son.
You wouldn't make the mistake Penna did.
Yeah, I would never have the rematch.
Yeah,
he's
made a mistake.
Yeah, you're mind. I'm the GOAT. I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk around this. I'm the king.
What do you guys think of Marigali? Do you think he's going to blitz this ADCC?
I think he looks unstoppable. So he's in the 99 division, right? Yeah. Let's assume he's minus 99. I think...
I don't know, Mason Fowler ducked Owen, so he's in that as well. That might be tough.
That'll be a fun match to watch, actually.
Yeah, this will be a fun match. But if I would have to bet, I would probably bet on Marigali. He looks pretty good right now. Yes. Unstoppable almost.
He looks very big as well compared to Mason. Like Mason, how tall is Merigali?
Merigali's a big geezer. He's like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, Mason is like my height. So.
Yeah, but he's very juicy right now, brother.
Mason.
Which one?
Mason. Valor. Well, my UFC fight boss. Whoa, that boy was chunky.
They're both chunky though, aren't they?
Yeah, but Mason did look very big.
Yeah, but
Merigali's
so is Kenan Duarte.
Kenan's in that division as well, isn't he? Yeah. Big cross face Duarte. Yeah,
he just wore him down, made him so tired.
Yeah, that's true.
Took him down.
But understand that ADCC Kynan is different from the Kynan that you saw against Merigali. So this will also be a tough match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Prime juice, just fucking
more juice.
Gills, like just colletizing cross faces. Damn. Yeah, that he looked pretty big at that ADCC. Poor Craig just getting smashed.
I think Craig, if he competes, he'll go down to 88 again. I mean, it seems
more. No, I meant down at the last day.
Craig's juicy right now, though. Surely he'll stay at 99, no?
Yeah, why would he? He can make 88.
I think his size is more appropriate for 88.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely.
Those 99 fellas are big boys.
Yeah, it's a different. I mean,
yeah.
He did well against Lovato, but I think just generally speaking, 88 is. Because
he's very strong for 88 as well, right? Whereas 99, he's not saying he's not strong for 99, but like kind of the way he probably feels,
probably yeah,
very similar, for you know. Sure. So it's like at least for 88, I haven't really felt many people like him.
I've never felt an 88 person that strong.
No, never.
Denise,
I think Denise was more dynamic than Craig, but isometrically, Craig
just feels stupid strong, does he?
It's terrible.
The juice is working. Whatever he's taking, it's working for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, you need to
the stack.
You need some help, bro.
Ways to Well.
Doesn't he have a sponsor, Evertitan?
Yeah, but everyone asks on Ways to Well. Everyone takes a trip to Ways to Well.
Yeah.
Everyone stopped off at Ways to Well. Was well looked after. Yeah. What do they do? Cup of tea and that.
Cup of tea and that.
Fellas, I've actually got to finish up here.
Some electrolytes in your little water.
Yeah.
You can have that, brother.
Have you tried eating vegetables and fruit?
Yeah. You tried eating your greens like
no processed foods, man.
You tried eating 12 eggs a day.
Shout out Eddie a bit.
Yeah, make love sure they're not red.
Bro, I love that guy.
Me
he's
too.
So funny.
I love Eddie Abu.
Wake the fuck up.
Bro, he's the best. Is he in London?
Eddie Abu, yeah.
Fuck. I want to
go
see
find him.
Go find him.
I'll go to like an Aldi or something.
You'll see him then. Wake
to be
the
fair,
fuck
this,
up.
We need to. This is my final autism point because he brought up Aldi and now I'm going to bring up Lidl.
No, please don't. That's the perfect story to end, though. Okay, tell it.
We were in Lidl literally yesterday because I was trying to show Joseph because he can't wait. I was showing like how for trials there was like, this is besides the point, but this is like yogurts with like a lot of protein, not that many calories, right? So I was eating that before trials. And I was
wake the fuck up.
Yeah. So then when we were on the way, he's scanning everything to pay, and like Joseph asked Demon to get a bag, innit? Bro, I've already paid for my things. I just got like a milkshake. I'm standing at the end and there's just like a rack of bags on there. It's like probably 10 bags on the rack, whatever. Bro, I swear he's fumbling. I can see the sweat
like
dripping off
of
David's head.
Of trying to get
bro, maybe more. It might have been 30 seconds of him trying to get a bag on this rack. The woman who's working there is looking at him like he needs help. Bro, he's like, he seems so baffled of how to get the bag off the rack. He just grabbed the first bag, pull it off. He's like lifting up them, pulling them up. I'm like, bro, you're so autistic.
I was under stress. I knew exactly from the first second when I saw the bags
you
that
caved.
He's looking.
You caved
that he's
under
looking
pressure.
At me like, oh fuck, I need to hurry up.
Is there a more high pressure situation than that?
I was so
like, I can't get the bag. I need the bag.
Bro, I'm still better than Taylor.
Let's
hear Taylor.
He couldn't make his own bed, bro. Jesus Christ.
Taylor,
really?
Yeah, he didn't know how to blow up a blow up bed. I had to do it for him.
That's what he said.
He's just useless.
No, that's what he was. He was willing to sleep on like this one block bed, like with no sheets, no covers. He was like, oh, it's kind of sucking. And I was like,
bro, I can feel him.
I was like, what are you doing, bro? I just built the other one and put him together, put some sheets on it. And he was like, oh, this is very nice. I was like, well, that's what happens.
He's built different.
Taylor built
just
different.
Sleeps
man.
On the floor.
Yeah, he's pretty good at jizz, though, to be fair. He's getting quite good. He's developed a lot.
He do be fucking good.
He's going to come on the podcast next week.
I especially like his technique, the original one.
Oh, bro, shut up, man. I think he might show me that, to be fair. So this might be boycott of a boycott of a boycott. You know the saddle to the saddle entry and then passing across the double outsides? Passing across the outside. All right, I showed him that, you know.
I feel like that's really old, though.
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, because Gordon did it to Nicky Rod, you know. So it's like
but even before way
before.
Yeah.
It's just so
Eddie
old.
Days.
But that's the thing about jiu-jitsu right now. we are fucked because doesn't matter what we show, someone did it already. But if you look at Danaher and the other guys, people actually think that they invented most of the stuff they show. Yeah. It's not like this. It's
This is why when I got told off for reverse close guard, I was like, this is stupid. I can't do reverse close guard instructional.
Yeah, this
Are you telling me you can't Roger can't do a close guard instructional? Roger didn't make up close guard.
Yeah,
bro. Roger Gracie cannot make an instructional close guard.
Yeah.
Or mount. He didn't make up the positions.
No.
You idiots.
This is a modern this is a modern problem. Like don't get fooled. Don't think that the old guys are inventing everything. They did the same as we do. We are just better in stealing because we have the internet.
The internet, yeah.
Yeah, you better. It's easy to get caught.
Right, fellas.
Doing the yeppy lock.
I have to leave now. So good to see you all.
Let's call it.
Have fun playing Ninja.
Ninja. Oh, yeah. Guys, remember, like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that. Owen sells some instructionals on BJJ Fanatics.
Gonna start a Patreon.
Yeah.
Pirate them.
Maybe.
Pirate them.
Bro, can you spell your name one time for the audience?
E-O-G-H.
Bro, not even you can spell it.
There's gonna be an R.
I had to give a pause there whilst people process.
Young Wesley, you've got instructionals. Head over to your link on your Instagram, all that.
Yeah, exactly. I got the link tree, bro.
Yeah, get that.
Fanatics. You can. My name's actually spelled normally, so you can just type it.
Owen Jones.
What the fuck? Don't say that.
What the fuck? Joseph Chan.
Offended.
Check out Joseph Chan Instagram. You got instructions. Do you have instructions?
Spell your name. Spell your name.
And then Patreon as well. So check out the
amazing.
Spell the first two.
Where can we find you?
Don't write me. I do post about I'm not accepting anybody right now. Wait until ADCC, then I will launch some websites. Maybe I do a Patreon in a week or two, but please don't write me. Even if Linus or Joseph tell you to write me, please.
Write him. No, he please. Has so much time.
I have no time right now. My schedule is full. After ADCC, you can harass my...
You heard it, guys. Make sure you hit Damer up for...
Fuck.
I got Fnatic as well.
Mine is
fucking
popping. He doesn't
popping.
Need more clients.
Yeah. Popping. 20 quid last month. That's mad.
You didn't even make a post about it, though.
Huh?
I saw one thing because I looked jacked on the front of it. I know.
You're on it. Yeah.
I look fucking huge, bro. I was like sick.
No, because they didn't even tell me they were going to do a collab post. And I was just going back and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I just accepted it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've got my online thing going on.
To get back to that jacked state, bro.
The online business is going well.
I looked swole as hell.
You're good.
I did look good. I had them.
You come back in. Pliers are there.
The offer is there.
All right, guys. Great to see you. Yes, there it is.
Mashallah.